My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to preach the glorious gospel each week, as well as give a clear invitation for people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this timeless broadcast. Thank you for your communication to us. A recent note from Iowa reads, "I have been going to you as my church for several years now, and I always learn lessons from the sermons. I love Pastor Salem's down-to-earth preaching style." And from North Dakota, "I have enjoyed pastor's sermons because they are centered around the Bible. I appreciate the broadcast since I am homebound and unable to get to my church." Now, stay with us to learn what Pastor Salem prayed for while he preached in today's message titled, "A Pastor's Prayer for His People." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I say it every week, and I mean it from my heart. I'm always happy when the weekends come and we can all get together. And we've gone through the week, and God has brought us on our way. And some of us have great joy. Some of us maybe stubbed our toes. Maybe some of us had sorrow during this last week. But here we are to gather together all over the world around the throne of grace. And that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ has his eye upon us, and he sees us, and he'll minister to us in this service. And today we're going to be preaching about my prayer for you. What do I pray for you people as I'm preaching? And I'm going to share from my heart. But let's look at the psalmist in Psalm 113 who says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens." And oh, what a wonderful God you are. And we just rejoice in you, O Heavenly Father. And someday through Jesus, through trusting him, we're going to see you and be with you. And that's our prayer today, that everyone who hears this service, hears this service at all, will be sure they've opened their heart to the wonderful Savior. And that's our prayer. So God, just bless your name and be honored in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's going to start us out, and he's got a song entitled "Something Beautiful." And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Oh,
Well, thank you, Hank. What a wonderful, wonderful message. And as he was singing, I was thinking, I wonder if there's somebody, as he's thinking about making something beautiful out of my life, and you've just had a terrible sin in your life, or you really failed the Lord, or you really drifted off, or maybe you did something you think, oh, God will never take me, I am so bad. And that message is for you, something beautiful. God loves you. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter how terrible your sins are. Maybe you're ashamed of them. You're sorry for them. Well, God will forgive you, and he loves you, and he wants you to come to Jesus, and you can take your life. Maybe you're just a young person, and you want to be sure that your life counts for something and is pleasing to God, and you want your life to be beautiful, and maybe you're off in years, and you've sinned terribly, and oh, you just pray and say, oh, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I just ask you, come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll turn from them the best I can, and I'll serve you all my life, and thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. He'll make something beautiful out of your life. He'll take your life, and he'll make it shine, because he has a wonderful Holy Spirit will dwell within you, and the love of Christ will show in your life, and you will be beautiful. Old people can be beautiful if they just have Jesus. And no matter what you've done, there's hope for you. Oh, I love to preach the gospel, because no one is beyond hope until he dies. Then it's all settled. But you've got life. You can hear me. Just talk to Jesus. Well, we got some letters. Got all these nice letters, and we just thank you so much. You know, we get around 100 letters a day. And we read everyone who has a message in it, and just want to thank you for writing. And so here our first letter, Sun City, Arizona. And this person writes, we watch the Christian Worship Hour on Sunday mornings, and we thank you for sharing the Lord's word as you do, plain and simple terms. Also, thank you for sharing your life story with us, Heart of a Shepherd. We truly enjoyed it and will share it with others. God bless you and your ministry. And so now the Heart of a Shepherd is a one-hour film, and it is an evangelistic film. And it's a kind of when I came to know Jesus when I was 10 years old, and it's a story of my life and how I accepted Jesus, and he changed my life. And maybe if you know somebody and they don't know Jesus, or maybe you're not sure, I just don't know about this man. He never goes to church, and I don't want to know. I wonder if he knows Jesus. Now, you get this film, and you ask him to watch it. And the message will come clear as a bell that Jesus loves him. No matter what he's done, Jesus loves him. And he's died for us. And when we ask him to come into our heart, and I was 10 years old, you ask him to come into your heart. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You ask him in, and you become beautiful, beautiful in Jesus. So get your pencil and paper ready. I'm going to give the address in just a minute. And we send these films out on a free will offering basis. We got a letter the other day. A person needed two of them, sent $5. We send him two. Whatever you can afford, just whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And if you don't have anything, you're in prison, you write to us, we'll send it free. And we get retirement homes, send them free if you don't have anything. Because listen to this. Listen to our next letter. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I hope my small gift will help with postage to send God's word to those who ask for God's guidance and presence in their lives. So here she's writing in and she says, there may be some people don't have any money or they don't have very much. And they don't even pay for the postage. Well, here's a check, and I'm going to help you with your postage. So this is what God does. He says, now you send those out. And whatever people have, whatever they can give, you send them out. And I'll make it up to you. I'll see that you get enough money, see? So that's the way God works it, and we're just happy to do it. Works out every time. Every time. let's see, Abercrombie, North Dakota. My thanks for the ministry you gave to my husband and me for quite a few years. I believe you were instrumental in deepening his Christian faith and possibly helping him to begin it. He left us for his eternal home in November 2017. So you can just rejoice in this because you had a part. If you prayed and if you gave, and whatever you give, that is helping us to get the gospel out. And somebody, we have to pay our way just like any, you know, we can't get by on our good looks. You can tell by looking at me, we don't get very far that way. And so we need some currency. And so God will lay it on your heart. You send it in, the way we go. Here, this is an interesting letter. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We do enjoy you and the Christian Worship Hour. The blessings you share help so many to have a better day. In 1962, my husband was stationed at Ellsworth Air Force Base in Rapid City, South Dakota. Our firstborn, a son, was born there at the base on June of 1963. We live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, born and raised here. Our son has your birthday. He's born on my birthday, June 26, 1963. Our son has your birthday. You being from South Dakota, our son being there, and you both have the same birthday, your last name being Salem and our address being Winston-Salem, we feel connected. Please send us the Heart of a Shepherd DVD. Looking forward to receiving it. We hope and pray your service continues to uplift and reach more of God's people. We appreciate you and your services. Love in Christ. Well, with all those connections, that we may be related. We may be relatives. Well, come to think of it, we are. We're members of the family of God. And here they are in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we're out in Salem in South Dakota. But we're one in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And they want us to send this film, and they're going to share it with other people. And that's how you can be a missionary. You get this film and you invite people in to watch it, or you take it over to their home and ask if you could show it, and the message will come. You don't have to say a word. I'll say the words about coming to Jesus, see? And they're right in your room, in your living room. Maybe somebody will pray and say Jesus in their heart. Please come into my heart, and they'll be born again right there in your living room. But you got to get the word out, and you got to help us. So you got to take out your pencil and paper. I'll give you all the information just a minute. Here is Bremerton, Washington. Yes, I lived in your times too. That is the 30s, the dirty 30s. They were terrible years, depression years. Says, I lived in the your times too, cream to the creamery, eggs from the creamery, and then some yardage from the bags for mama to make me a new dress. And that's what they did. The flour came in printed materials, and they used to wash them out and make clothing out of them, make dresses out of the flour sacks. And you say, oh, you must have been poor. We were so poor, the poor people called us poor. And none of us had any money, dreadfully poor. But we had Jesus. We had Jesus. He saw us through. And I tell you, you appreciate something when you go through that. But my one point I want to make about that, I remember going to the creamery, and we'd have the cream. We'd have it in a big can. Then we'd save it up, and then we'd take the creamery. And we all set the car while the man in the creamery checked our cream. And then he would write a check right there, right on the spot. And because we didn't have any money, not a penny, not a penny. And she'd write that out. Then my mother would mark something down, 10% for Jesus. Don't ever give your last dollar to Jesus. Give your first dollar. When you get paid, you pay Jesus first. Put him first. I'll never forget that. And then she would subtract that 10%. And went to the Red Owl store, and we bought groceries, flour and sugar and whatever she had, the basics. With that amount of money, we spent it all, and we got in a car, and went back until next week again. That's the only cash income we had. And here's a dear brother, here's a dear sister, because her mother made some of her dresses for her out of those flour sacks. Here's St. Francis, Minnesota, says, listen to here. I heard you say that you're not too crazy about cats. I love cats. And she's not done, she says, and my cat reads the Bible. So I guess maybe cats aren't so bad after all. I'd like to wonder what she reads and what she says, but if she says she reads her Bible, she must read her Bible. Here's Winterset, Iowa. As a 90-year-old shut-in, I really look forward to your service each Sunday morning. And I put this in because there are many people can't get out to church. You ought to go to church if you can. And I say so many times, if you can go to the restaurant or the cafe, you can go to church. And so you ought to go to church if you possibly can. And but here sometimes they're not able to come. And there's something else we do for these folks too. We have a Bible study, and a little Bible study we send out every month. And this month is getting in the harvest. Next month it's going to be almost a Christian. And so it's a good little Bible study. And so we'll send that. If you write in and I'll give you the address, you can get it and study the Word of God along with others. Now here's one that really touched my heart. Huron, South Dakota. My parents enjoyed watching you when my mother could no longer go to church. She passed away on March 2017. My dad continued watching you because of his health, making it difficult to go to church. On July 8th, all of his children were home, and we watched your service that morning. Dad went home to live with the Lord 2 hours later. Our last fond memory with our dad was watching you preach that day. Thank you for touching my parents' lives for the past several years. Wants to make you cry. And that's one thing, wonderful, great thing about this ministry. We go into the homes. These people can't get out. And in the winter, it's even worse. And so when you support this ministry, you're helping people spiritually and helping families. And so you need to pray about, what does God want me to do? And so I just wanted to thank you all for all the help you've given. And then I want to tell you, if you want to help us in this work, you write to the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And or if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Either way, and you can send my gifts from anywhere in the world. You just put it on ChristianWorshipHour.com, and there's a place to donate. You can put it in your money, and it'll come in American money, and we'll pay our bills. And then if you'd like to get the new song, our little Bible study, it's called A New Song. It's got other things in it. It's got our devotionals and topics. It's got all of our sermons and the texts that we're going to use that month. It's a very valuable little paper, free and postpaid. And then you'll just write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know what you're thinking. Well, what if I send them money and they don't spend it for this? What if I wonder what kind of a car he drives. I wonder what kind of a house he's got. Maybe he's got several houses. How would I know that he doesn't put that money in his pocket? Well, you can be sure. You can rest assured, because we are a member of an international organization, an accounting organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books every week, check our books, every year. And every penny we take in is accounted for, and every penny is spent. And it all goes to the preaching of the gospel. So don't you worry about the preacher running off with your money. I can't run the way it is. I use a walker. And so anybody could catch me, but you don't need to worry. This Evangelical Council, Financial Accountability, They're checking all the time. So this is what I'm asking you to do, asking you to pray and ask the Lord, first of all, should I support this ministry? And then if he says yes, maybe he'll say no. Maybe he'll say others. There are other good ministries. But if he says yes, then you say how much. And whatever he does, you just go. And he'll always provide for his work. So our only source of income from God's people. And address one more time for all of our shortwave people. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the speaking to your people. Thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, today we're reading from Ephesians chapter 2. And so if you got your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And this is a beautiful passage of Scripture because it talks about how that we were dead in our sins and the wonderful Jesus came. And when we received him, opened our heart, he took away our sins. And he gave us life. He gave us a new life, spiritual life, that life that will last forever, and that wonderful Savior. And he did it all, not anything that we've done. People are working for their salvation. They're working to get to heaven. They're being good so they can get to heaven. You'll never get to heaven that way. It's through faith in Jesus. And that's what this passage is all about. And then at the close of the scripture, we're going to read it. We're going to have a prayer. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in China. And every month, every week, we pray for the persecuted church somewhere in the world. We've got a listing of 50 different places where the persecuted church resides. And we'd go right down that list, and we're praying for them Sunday, week after week after week. And I know many of you do pray for our brothers and sisters in these hard places. So now Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And Paul writes, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture, and we thank you for the wonderful message it gives us, that you give us salvation, you save us from hell, and it is a gift, a free gift that your Son gives us because he went to the cross and he took all of the sins of the world and he died and he paid for those sins with his own blood. And he was raised the third day. Some days coming back, but he is here by his Spirit right now. And all who call in the name of the Lord to be saved. And it's not by works of righteousness, but our faith in Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And dear Lord, that's the only way. And it's a gift. We can't buy a gift. You're the gift of God is eternal life. So in this service today, dear Lord, may multitudes open their heart to Jesus. Oh, dear God, we pray that everybody who is watching us, everybody who's listening today, everyone, if they haven't accepted you, everyone without exception, everyone will accept you. Open their heart to Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now before the message, Barbara's a song, Master of the Sea. And God bless you, Barb.
One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand, angry winds around did blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. The storms of life may rage, mighty billows round you roll, and he can calm life's troubled sea. Oh, as he did in days of old, and as upon life's sea you sail, why don't you trust in him who never ever fail. I'm so glad he sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. Says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea. He's the one who sails with me. Oh, he's still the master of the sea.
Well, thank you, Barb, and all my friends. Maybe you're at sea right now. Maybe there's a tempest in your life. You're really having problems. Maybe it's a financial problems. Maybe it's a home problems. Maybe it's other bad habits or something, and you're right in the middle of a storm, and you think you're going to go under, and you just don't see any way out, but there is a way out. And you just call on the name of the Lord, on the dear Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll reach his hand and he'll save you from, he'll help you and he'll save you from your sins. I don't say he's going to save you from your predicament. Maybe you've got a bad health problem. Maybe you're going to get healed and maybe you aren't. St. Paul wasn't healed, but he'll give you peace and he'll give you assurance and he'll give you joy that the world can't give and the world can't take. And so if you're in a storm today and it's not just the older folks or the middle-aged, it's the young people. And I got a letter from a little girl, sixth grade, and she's telling about her troubles and her trials. She wants to be with her dad and she can't be with her dad. And she's going through an awful storm. And we have to pray for these, but pray for the children. And that's one thing about this film that we got, The Heart of a Shepherd. It'll speak to children. It talks about a 10-year-old boy accepted Jesus. And Jesus is interested in children. He loves the children. And he says, let the little children come unto me, forbid them not. And he says, if you harm one of these little children, be better for you if a millstone be tied around your neck, you're dropped in the depth of the sea. That's what Jesus is saying. And so pray for the children. I pray for this little girl that God will work it out some way so she can be with her dad, see? So maybe, I don't know what your situation is, but you could pray it right now and say, dear Jesus, just please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins of the best I can. I'll live for you as best I can. You'll never be perfect, but you strive for perfection. And you won't be perfect till you get to heaven, see? And then you ask, just tell Jesus, just take away my sins, dear Lord, and I'll live for you, and I'll turn from those sins, and thank you, Jesus. And you'll find a peace that'll come and bless your heart. I thought of all of those things while Barb's singing about this storm and the dear Jesus. And so we're going to have, I want to talk today about what do I think? What does a preacher think about when he prays? What does he pray? And I'm going to tell you exactly what I pray. I pray that every precious soul, everyone who listens to this service or watches this service, I pray that they're in the hands of Jesus. Because when we accept Jesus and we take him into our heart, he holds us in his hands. That's what he says in John 10. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That means you will never go to hell. You'll go to heaven. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. And something else, they shall never pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And if they are not in my Father's hand, I am to give their souls to Jesus. And he always keeps us because he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So that's what I pray every time I preach, that everybody will come to Jesus and give themselves to Jesus. I want to see you in heaven. And I'm going to tell you this, the most important thing you have is your eternal soul. And God tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, he is not willing that any should perish. That is, that none of them go to hell. He wants them to all come to heaven, but you are the one to decide where you go. You decide that. You say, I will take Jesus, and you're going to heaven. You say, I don't need Jesus. I'll get in my own good works or something else. I don't need Jesus. I don't need his help. And you'll be in hell just as sure as the world, just as sure as the word of God. And so you need Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father. Nobody goes to heaven but by me, through me, Jesus. The way to Jesus is through a person. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that your soul is, your precious soul is with the Lord. Jesus says the most precious thing you have is your soul. He says for in Matthew 16, verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so what Jesus is saying, there's really two questions here. He says, first of all, what shall a man give and what if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? That is, if you gain the whole world, and you're not going to gain the whole world, you're not gaining the whole town or the whole county. You maybe won't have much of anything. And if you did gain the whole world and owned the world and lost your soul, you'd be a loser. And the second part of the question is, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All right, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The minute we accept Jesus, the minute we sin and do one little lie, one little thought, one evil thought, why, then we have a sin, and no sin will ever enter the kingdom of God. And there's no question about it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so what are we going to do if we lose our soul? What do you do to get it back? And you can't get it back. You have to go to Jesus. And he gets it back because he redeemed us. That's why we call him the Redeemer. He took all the sins of the world and he shed his blood on an old rugged cross. And he paid for the sins of the world. And he was buried. And then the third day, God said, yes, that sacrifice, that blood of Jesus Christ does cover the sins of the world. And so I'll raise him from the dead. That means the debt is paid. And if you go to hell, it's because you refused Jesus. You have to accept that gift. As many as received him, accepted that gift. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And so that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that you watch that precious possession, because it will live forever. We will have it in this world as long as we live. And then one day our soul is going to leave our body, and our spirit and soul is going to leave the body, and the body will be a corpse. It'll be a cold clod of clay. It's left there. It'll go right back to the dust from whence it came. But not that soul. That soul is going to live forever. It's never going to die. It's going to live forever in heaven, or it's going to live forever in hell. But it's going to last forever. And I want to tell you, friends, you're going to decide where it goes. Nobody does it for you. It's all in your court. You have to have Jesus. That's what I pray all the time. I pray everybody will accept Jesus. And you see this wonderful soul that God has given us, we just thank God for it, and because all of our feeling is in that soul. And if that soul is in heaven, there's rejoicing. If it's in hell, it's in torture. And so what we have to do is be careful, because all of our feelings in that soul. You see, when a person dies, that soul leaves the body. Well, that body still has the brain. It still has a spinal column. Still has all of the nerves and muscles. Has no feeling. It's a corpse because the spirit is gone. The soul and the spirit are practically the same thing, the spirit and the soul. And so that's why that has to be in Jesus' hands. And you have to give it to Jesus and come to Jesus. So that's what I pray every time I preach. I pray, oh, I hope that I just pray that people will come and they won't be lost in a Christless eternity. And let me tell you something, friends, when I talk about hell, and then some people say, oh, you talk too much about that. I want to tell you something. The most loving person who ever walked on the face of the earth, the most loving person who ever walked on the face of the earth, he says that soul that is not saved is going to abide in the place. And he said where? Jesus said where? Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So don't jump all over me. That's what Jesus said. And you just need to come to Jesus. So that's what I pray. When every time I get to pray, and I pray for the sick, and we pray for those that are your children, and we pray for the young people, and we pray for all different things. But our main thing is that all will come to repentance and to serve as saving of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to ask you if your soul is safe today. If you were to die tonight, would your soul go to heaven or would it go to hell? It's going to go somewhere. And so you have to decide. And all eternity hangs on what you do with Jesus. I'll take him and have life. I'll reject him. I don't need Jesus. I hear people say, I got enough good works, I'll get in. Oh God, have mercy on their soul. Because there's only one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. There's a very popular and powerful figure in the New Testament named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, and he comes to Jesus, and in spite of all of his knowledge, he would be a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. That is, he knew that Old Testament inside and out. And if anybody knew the scriptures, he knew them, but he didn't know about his welfare of his soul. And so he comes to Jesus, and he comes by night, and he talks to Jesus, and he asks him, and he says, what must I do to have eternal life? And so the Lord Jesus talks to him. And we'll just read a little bit about it here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. He's right. Jesus Christ came from God because Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Nicodemus knew that. He says, you're a great teacher. I know you come from God. I know you're God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I just say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Period. There it is, as plain as day. Except the man be born. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again when he's an old? Can he enter back second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And so Jesus tells him, you have to be born again by opening your heart to Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And that beautiful scripture in John 5, verse 24, where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he whoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. So he hears and he believes and he has life. Can you make it any more simple than that? Then Jesus went on, he said something else. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to life. You're going to heaven. My favorite verse of the Bible, John chapter 5, verse 24. And so that's our prayer. And you have to come to Jesus. And so we pray that, oh, if you just put your faith in the Lord Jesus, because as he says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You just have to have that new birth. You have to have that time when you're open to the Lord. And look at what Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't say it might be a good thing to be born again or receive Jesus. He didn't say it might be a good thing. He didn't say, let me suggest to you. He didn't say, well, would you please consider? He didn't say it might be a good idea. He says, if you are inclined, it might be a good. He says, you must. You must. No other way. Jesus was very narrow, and that's all right. When it comes to mathematics, everything has to be narrow. It is or it isn't. And when it comes to things spiritual, you must be born again. Nicodemus, Jesus saying, Nicodemus, listen to me. If you want to go to heaven, you cannot go until you're born again. And you can be born again when you open your lower heart to the Lord Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so Jesus then talks to him. He talks about them and he says, as we see in John 5:24, it's hearing and believing and having. That simple, that plain, and that quick. A child can understand it. I did it when I was 10 years old. I heard that pastor preach. And I believed. I accept Jesus in my heart. And I had eternal life. 10 years old, 87 years ago. And I remember it as if it was so last night. And all those years I've been in the Father's hands. And I'll never be out of the Father's hands till I go through the pearly gates. And I'll be with the Heavenly Father and the dear Lord Jesus forever and ever. But it is that plain. But people say, they're always saying, but don't I have to do something? No. No. After you're saved, you do some things for the Lord. But you never do anything. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And so God is telling us, he tells us that you just believe, and it's not by works, but after we're saved, then we do work for the Lord. We work for the Lord not to be saved and not to get to heaven. We work for the Lord and do good works because we're on the way to heaven, because we belong to Jesus, see? Don't get the horse before the cart. And so when we, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, by grace we are saved through faith. And only Christianity has grace. Go to all the religions of the world. No grace, no mercy, no grace. Just in Jesus. That wonderful scriptures. And so when we get to heaven, you see, we're not going to get there by doing good works, because if we did, when we got to heaven, everybody would be bragging on what they did to get there. And we have so many big mouths, wouldn't that be a mess? If you get to heaven, you're going to have to say, it was Jesus. It was all Jesus. It's nothing that I did. It's all Jesus. And I have people that write in and they say, well, what about Abraham? It says Romans 4, verses 2 and 3. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. And so see, he say by works, but you didn't read all the verse. Romans chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. For if Abraham were justified works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, what Paul is saying, if you're going to get to heaven by works, well, that might be all right before men, not before God. Doesn't mean a thing before God, because it's what saith the scriptures. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He just believed. Just believed. That's all. I don't know how you could make it any plainer. And so what are these good works for? The good works come after we're saved, and we do it out of appreciation to the Lord and because we love our neighbors ourselves. But it's never to get to heaven. And if God tells us, if you bring your good works and present them to God, and you say, well, I'm going into heaven, and you meet God and you have all of your works, listen to what God told of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. We're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's very offensive to some people who think they're going to get to heaven by works. But this is what God says. Isaiah 64, look it up, verse 6. And he says, it's trash, you coming in here, because it's the gift of God. Don't you see, dear friends, listen to me now. If you would give one penny, one work to save yourself, it isn't a gift. If I give you a gift and you give it, and maybe it's a diamond ring, and I don't know where I'd get it, but I'd get it somewhere. I'll give you a diamond ring. Maybe it's a fake ring. That's probably better. But it's a gift. But you give me a nickel for that, and it's not a gift anymore. It's a purchase. You purchase. See, you can't give to God for your salvation if you wanted to. You, after we're saved and after we believe in the Lord, have Jesus in our heart, then we do good works. Where that's what we're told in Ephesians. It's under God has ordained us unto good works that God hath before ordained. God ordained for the sun and the moon to be in their place, and he ordained that we do good works, but keep them where they belong. Always after we're saved, never to be saved. And so think of this, to purchase our salvation, God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, who had no sin, took the sins of the world, and he went to that cross. And on that cross, he paid for our sins. And you know what Jesus did? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying. And it says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And I'll tell you why that was. In the garden, he wasn't sweating blood because he was going to be crucified. We have, in the persecuted church, we have people walking up now, young men. I saw the picture of them, four young men. And they say in Arabic, Jesus Christ is Lord. And they cut their heads off. They didn't hesitate a minute to stand up for the Lord. Jesus wasn't sweating blood because of the cross. He was sweating blood because he was taking all of the filthy sins of the world, your sins and my sins, and he paid for them on the cross. And the only way to heaven, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You have to have Jesus. So you were praying that right now. Why don't you pray? Because the Holy Spirit is talking to you all over the world. That Holy Spirit's able to do that. And there's just something that says to you, I just do want Jesus. I do want to go to heaven, and I'm sick of my sins. And I know he loves me. And then you just say, dear Jesus, in your own words, just as your own way, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And if you want to confess some of them to him, go ahead. Or if you just ask him to forgive you for my sins. And now then you have to repent. You have to turn from those sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. You won't be perfect, but I'm going to make every step of the way count for you. So, dear Jesus, please come into my heart to take away my sins. I'll turn from them the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you did that, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been born again. You are just born again. I can tell you that by the authority of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that he that hath the Son hath the life. He says, as if you receive him, he'll give us life. As many as received him, he gave an eternal life. You're born again. You're a child of God. And I doesn't say you're going to get healed. Maybe you will and maybe you won't. I don't know about that. Doesn't mean you're going to get rich, but you're going to have Jesus. You make that prayer and then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We need to hear from you. And then if you've accepted Jesus, we'll send you some literature and help you get started on the way. And so now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for all the multitudes that are coming to you right now. And then, Lord, we pray for those who can't get around, those who are on sick beds, those who are shut-ins. We pray for young people trying to decide how to get along in life. Pray for the children that are hurting, Lord. We're praying for your people everywhere. And then our persecuted Christians in China, Lord, our brothers and sisters in China. So we pray for all of these things. And oh, dear God, we just thank you that you love us and you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Thank you that for that wonderful message of salvation. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for watching us today, worshiping with us. We just love being with you. And if you opened your heart to Jesus, we're going to see you in heaven. And we'll talk about that day. And you say, boy, it was an awful poor sermon, but I got the message. And that's what we need, at that message. And I got Jesus because I asked him in my heart. And he said he'd never leave me or forsake me. And he'll be with you all the way to heaven, and then we'll be with him forever. So you write to us, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And always remember that God loves you no matter what your sin has done, no matter what you've done. He loves you, and he wants you to come to him. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're preaching. That's why we're singing. That's why we're doing the best we can, because we do love you, and I love you the best way I know how. And we want to meet you in Jesus. We want you to be a part of the family, and you can be, and I know many of you are. So until next week, God bless you. God watch over you and keep you safe in the Savior's name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.